The Talk About podcast was designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. Recently, we've been focused on issues and topics that are associated with the United States. But we all know that the Black community expands far beyond the borders of the United States. And that's why on the upcoming season on Talk About with Ron, I want to take the podcast international and start talking to different members of the Black community that were not born and raised in the United States. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear what are the challenges that you face as a Black person in your country. Now, whether it's good or bad, you know, economic or not, I want to understand your country, the Black community. We need to come together, and we should come together and understand each other. Because my experiences as a Black American or African American is not the same as yours. I've sat down and I've talked to different Black people from around the world and, you know, who live here in the United States from other countries. And the experience is totally different. I want to hear that. I want to share that experience with other Black people. You know, my experiences you've learned from me, and I have international listeners. And I want to invite you to come onto my show and talk to me and tell the world about your country. Represent your country. Represent where you're from. Tell everybody what they should know about your country. I want to open those doors up to everybody because, like I said earlier, the Black community extends far beyond the boundaries of the United States border. I want to talk to all of you. I want to hear your experience. I want to share your experiences, and you can be an ambassador for your country and tell everybody what they should know about your country, you, how you're raised, your culture, your experiences, your view in life, everything. If you would like to come on the podcast and discuss your country and where you're from, there's a link down below. You can go onto my show and register as a guest. You can contact me directly on Facebook. It's the Ron Frazier Sr. You can go to my website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com. And you can have access to send me a message directly, or you can register as a guest, fill out the registration form, and I will contact you. This invitation also goes out to people who live in the United States that are from other countries, that were born and raised in other countries. So don't think that just because you live in the United States that you can't come on and be a part of this experience. I know that there are many people in the United States who were just moved here in the last 5-10 years and who have extensive experience in their country where you come from. So this invite goes to everyone that were not born and raised in the United States. So I invite you all to come be a part of the Talk About with the Ron Black Experience World Tour. Welcome back to Talk About, a podcast designed to discuss topics related to modern culture and society that affects the Black community. And I am your host, Theron Frazier. Before we get started with this week's episode, I would like to share some information with you guys. We now have a website, www.talkaboutwiththeron.com, where you can go there and support the show by using one of our affiliate links. There are several links there, one for Amazon, one for Fiverr, and one for Instacart. We also have a Patreon page where you can go and donate, and if you have a business, you can actually have a tier where we can promote your business on our Patreon page. Just go to www.talkaboutwiththeron.com and go to become a member. You can also subscribe there and leave your email address, and you will get the latest updates on the podcast. Welcome back to Season 4 of Talk About with the Ron. I am excited to be back. I miss you guys. I hope you miss me. I hope you all enjoyed your break, the Christmas break. I know I did. Me and the family, we went out of town for Christmas, and then we all ended up catching COVID. So I hope everybody is safe. We're all safe on our end. And that's going to cause for some interesting conversation later on this season, because I am going to be talking about COVID and all the stuff that's going on right now and all the stuff that's transpired since COVID has started. So look for that episode. But thank you all for being great listeners, and thank you for coming back and listening to the show again. We got a lot to get into this season four, talk about with the run. And we're going to kick off season four this week with Uganda, with the Talk About World Tour. This season, I got a lot of things going on, so I hope you guys like it. I am going to be doing a world tour, so we're going to be talking to different people from different countries. And if you know anybody in a different country who want to talk about their particular country after you listen to these episodes, let me know. Reach out to me, engage me, and I would love to have you come on the show. But I am going to be doing a mixture. I'm going to mix up, you know, my regular type episode. We talk about different topics, what's going on in the community. And we're going to be talking to some people from different countries who from around the world who didn't grow up in the United States, who have a different experience of being black. I also want to do a giveaway. It's going to be more information to come on this giveaway, but I'm going to be giving away $100 to one of my loyal listeners. I know it may not seem like a lot to you all, but it's my own hard-earned money that I'm going to be giving away, $100 to one listener. All you're going to have to do is listen, go back to a couple of episodes and listen to the previous seasons. And if you've already listened to them, you're good to go. If you haven't, just go listen to them again and see if you can find an answer to the trivia questions that I got out there. I'm going to be posting a link with the questions on my website, and you will be able to get entered into the drawing for the end of season four. Not now. At the end of season four, you'll be able to be entered into a drawing to win $100. And I will Cash App or Zelle or whoever I need to do to get it to you. Let's get started with talking about what we're going to be doing in this particular episode and this particular season, because like I said, I'm going to be doing the world tour, and I got some very great episodes that I've already recorded with different people from different parts of the world. And I got some very exciting episodes with people from countries where, you know, they're going to talk, you know, very positive. But I got some that's going to be not so exciting. You know, it's going to be some hard stuff that's going on. You're going to hear about in some of these countries. And, you know, everything is now, you know, peaches and cream on everywhere in the world. So just know that and look forward to some of those episodes, because you're going to be interesting. You know, sometimes the language barrier is going to be a little different, but it's going to be interesting to hear what these people got to say, because everybody don't live the same life that we live. So understand that. And today we're going to be talking to Veronica. She's from Uganda, and she's going to tell us about her experience growing up in Uganda, what it's like to live there versus living here, because she do live in the United States right now. Her experience transitioning from Uganda to the United States, and how she learned about different things about the United States as she got here, things that she was told before she came here, things that she figured out when she got here, and the way people treated her when she got here. I got two parts of this because it was so long. We had a great conversation, and it was more than an hour and a half long. So I'm going to break it up into two episodes. Part one is coming right now, Uganda with Veronica. Welcome back to another episode of Talk About with the Run. And today we're going to be talking about, well, let me give you a little history here, because what I've been doing with the podcast recently is I've been talking about the Black experience and the Black community within the United States, of our experiences and most of my guests' experiences within the United States. What I'm going to do this season is I'm going to extend far beyond the borders of the United States. I want to start tapping into the Black experiences from different countries and talking to guests that are not in the United States and that are abroad and in so many other regions of the world, because the Black experience is different, depends on where you come from. You know, my experience as a Black person in the United States is totally different from my wife's experience in Jamaica, and from my guest experience, who's going to be joining us today, who's from Uganda. And I want to introduce to you guys Veronica, and she's going to be giving us the experience and what it's like to live in Uganda, although she currently lives in the United States now, but she was born and raised in Uganda. So welcome to the show, Veronica. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
You know, we get started. I want you to just go ahead and give everybody a little introduction of who you are. You know, give us a little background, who you are, where you come from.
Okay. Well, my name is Veronica. Richardson now since I'm married, but I'm originally from Uganda, East Africa. And what nations make up East Africa? We have Rwanda, Burundi, Egypt is in East Africa, Malawi, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Sudan. All those make up the East African basin, like we call it. I moved to America when I was 13. Now people ask me, why would you move? Was it so bad in Africa? No, not necessarily, because we, as most Africans, how should I put it? Let me go back. My father was born, he was in Uganda, born in Uganda. But what the white people would do would come and pick the gifted kids out of Africa. So my father was one of the gifted boys then, and he was taken out of Uganda to Italy. But in Italy, you had to know how to speak Italian. He did not know. So he migrated to London, lived in London for a good 25 years. So it was his mission that every one of his children would move to England. And I have siblings in England as we speak, or cousins that live in England, because all my uncles, my father, they all kind of migrated to Europe. Europe and Africa have a connection. But I'm the youngest. I'm the rebellious one. I moved to America. And I settled in Silver Spring, Maryland with my brother. And then we moved around different states and then finally settled in Georgia. My brother was in the Army at the time and he moved to Fort Benning. And that's how I ended up in Georgia. Yeah. And I'm the youngest of 8 kids. Yeah. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Yes. I'm the youngest of all my other siblings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So you say your dad, when they come to Uganda, they take the gifted kids.
Yes.
So what do they identify as gifted? How do they identify, okay, I'm going to pick this kid and that kid?
They would look, they would come as missionaries or, you know, that kind of thing. They go to see the best sports player. But my father was very good. When it came to education, he was very good. So that's what they would base it on. I'll give you a prime example, like Barack Obama's father. He was among the kids that they went to Nairobi or Kenya and picked out the gifted people. That's how he ended up in Hawaii and ended up going to Harvard. So at the time then, they would go to schools and study these kids who are geniuses out of Africa and migrate them to different parts of Europe. You know, America kind of got in late, but a lot of Africans live in Europe or people from the Caribbean because they're very smart and they recruit them within the European nations. Or if they're good at playing sports, if you look at soccer, most of the people that play soccer come from Africa, you know, especially the black ones. So that's how they recruit these young men or in these young women.
Wow. So that's just like what they're doing, like in the NBA or baseball.
Pretty much.
They go to
Cuba
or somewhere and they recruit players for baseball, or they may go to other countries and recruit these players for basketball.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's funny because you see it. We don't see that side of what these countries are doing.
Right.
But you guys see it firsthand where they come there and they pick people out of the crowd and say, you know, we're going to, you know, do this and do that. Wow, that's interesting.
The best of the best. And they take them out. And of course, these people never come back. You know, but my father lived there after 25 years. He was like, I got to go back home. You know, there's no place like home. Everybody yearns for home. So he did come back, but he made it a promise that all his kids would go to Europe. I decided to come to America. I said, nah, Europe is not for me. I prefer America.
Well, we're glad you came.
I'm glad to be here. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that Uganda is known for?
Uganda is known for the mountain gorillas. I don't know if people have seen those. Those are very popular. People go to Uganda in a place called Bwindi. We have the mountain gorillas in Bwindi. These are big gorillas. I mean, they're only found in East Africa and in Uganda, in Bwindi. And we have what they call the golden monkeys in the Mahinga. These monkeys are rare breed. They've tried to bring them to America, but I believe due to the conditions, they cannot survive here. So Uganda is known for that. And in East Africa, Uganda is known as it's known as a Pearl of Africa. Let's put that. Every East African nation has its name. Uganda is a Pearl of Africa. I think Somalia is the Horn of Africa. Another thing in Uganda, the freedom. When I know there's a blogger from America that refuses to come back to America. He said he'll die and be buried in Uganda. The freedom there is to die for, you know. There's a feeling, I can't explain it, you know. It's a little different. The stress levels are lower. People live life. I mean, it's fun, to say the least, yeah.
You say people live life. So what's the average, like, it's a lot of older people like, life expectancy is longer there?
It is in Africa, regardless of what people say, in Uganda, regardless of what people say. And I think the reason it's that way is because we are very family-oriented people. For instance, there are no nursing homes in Uganda. When our parents get older, we move them into our homes. We take care of them. For instance, if my mom gets older, she'll move in with me. I'll take care of her till the good Lord calls her. People may not be so rich. Of course, you have the rich, you have the middle class, and you have the poor. But everything is about family. And we break bread. For instance, if you go anywhere in my country and you're a visitor and you knock at the door, the first thing people are going to greet you, serve you tea. If they're eating lunch, you're going to be served. You know, those little things, you know, make life a little bit longer. Now, are there other factors that may come in? Your lifestyle, you know, of course, you can drink alcohol every day and think you're going to live to be 80 something. My father died. My father was 97 years old. My father had me late in life. His other brother died at 100, but they could walk. They could, you never knew that they were 100. Their, what should I say? Their lifestyles allowed them to live to see 100. My auntie died at 89. And the reason why she died at 89, I think she had a heart attack. But otherwise, she would go in the gardens and dig and get her food and walk around. She didn't, you know, she never liked using cars. She used some means of transportation while walking everywhere. So you have those to put in place as well. Versus if you go to the city and see everybody that's rich. Now, we have young men that have heart attacks because of the lifestyle. You know, they want to eat very unhealthy foods and, you know, their life expectancy is not going to be like what my father's expectancy was. If that makes sense.
And I was going to ask you about that because that was leading into it. You started talking about the life expectancy and the lifestyle because it's different here with the Black community in the United States.
Right.
Our lifestyle is so unhealthy and kind of, you know, you go back to slavery with the type of food we ate, soul food that developed from slavery on the slavery time frame. What is the diet like there? Like what kind of foods you guys eat that makes it more healthy and, you know, allow you guys to live so long?
Okay. Everything is fresh. For instance, I'm going to use my mother's home. You could get up in the morning and go get a mango. She has mango trees. She has guavas. She has pineapples. Everything is organic. It's not that, are there supermarkets? Yes, but most people prefer to buy fresh meat. If you like eating pork, you know, they'll tell you, oh, we just slaughtered a pig about 2 minutes ago versus it being packaged from one. I do believe that most of the produce from here, let's say, come from Ohio. By the time they package it from Ohio to come to Georgia, to come to the supermarkets here, that's a journey that meat has been frozen for God knows how long. Whereas back home, everything is fresh milk. Straight out of the cow, you know. And when I say that, people think, oh my God, when you go to Uganda, you see fresh milk everywhere. They just milk the cows. No. And, you know, there are areas where they milk the cows and they supply that to different homes. Like my mom gets fresh milk every morning. The guy brings her fresh milk. Eggs. She has chickens. You know, she has kind of a big property. So she has chickens where she goes and picks up her own chicken. Most Ugandans live that way. And that makes a difference from when we buy processed eggs versus, you know, real eggs from the chicken. And I think that plays a big role in life expectancy, you know, I think. Wow.
Okay. And I wanted to go back because you mentioned the different regions of Africa. Yeah. And a lot of people or they won't give the credit to where credit is due, is because a lot of countries you name,
yeah,
they automatically go Middle East or right. Egypt.
Right.
And they'd be like, oh, that's not Africa.
Right.
It is.
Yes.
And a lot of people don't realize that's actually Africa.
Yes.
These are African nations. So expand a little bit on that, because you live here and yeah. you see how the media and everything portrays that as if the Middle East is something totally different from any other country or any other continent.
Yes. I'm glad you say that. When President Barack went to Egypt, they said, oh, President Barack visited Egypt. Then when he went to Kenya, which is sub-Saharan Africa, oh, President Obama is in Africa. We were like, dude, that's Africa. You know, Egypt is Africa. Morocco is Africa. Algeria is Africa. All these are African nations, but people forget when you have the Kalahari Desert, you have the sub-Saharan Africa and North Saharan Africa. So North Saharan Africa is where you find Morocco, Egypt, Libya, Algeria. Even though they look like Arabs, those are still Africans. You know, Gaddafi, may he rest in peace, fought for that for a long time to make sure people knew that they were part of Africa. But the media has a way of saying, or if they're dark skinned, automatically, yes, they're Africans. And then if they look a little Arab, they're not Africans. And that's the misconception. Yes, people have. And actually, like somebody asked me, oh, do you have white Africans? I said, yes, there are plenty of white Africans. She's like, nobody can be. You got to be black. I said, well, Charlize Theron is African. You know, that the lady that acted in Monster, she goes as African-American. She will say, I was born in South Africa. I am African-American. I don't identify anything else but African-American. Yet she's white, blonde hair, blue eyes. So there's a lot of misconception that's put out there in the media that the darker the person is, automatically, oh, yes, they're Africans. But if they're light, oh, no, they're not Africans. You know, they're not true Africans. But you are the African. I'm like, they're on the continent of Africa. If we were to say, get off the continent of Africa, where would they go? They're Africans, right. Yes.
And that's kind of like, for example, I'm sure you guys have Indian Africans and you have Asian Africans,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Wow. And again, when they hear Africa, they hear black skin.
Black
skin. And a lot of people don't realize Africa is a multi-colored nation. And
continent.
In Uganda.
Yeah.
You know, now let me get into a little bit deeper on the racial makeup of Uganda. Yes. What's the population like there?
The population.
As far as white, you know.
As in white, as in what? Population of the people?
Yes. The demographics of the people, like if percentage white, percentage dark skin. I mean, how do you guys even look at it like that? Because in America, we have white people, you have black people, you have Hispanic, you have all these different races.
Now,
do they even look at that in Africa?
In Africa, we
do. Let me say that again, because I'm talking continent versus your country. Do they look at that in Uganda?
Okay, in Uganda, we don't have racism, but I'll tell you what we have, tribalism. Now, as all nations grow, I can't tell you how many Chinese Ugandans that I've met. I can't tell you how many white Ugandans that I've met, Indian Ugandans that I've met. So if they do the census, it becomes hard because there's some people who, even though they're born in Uganda, but their roots are in China, so they kind of claim both nations. That's the problem we are having. If we say the demographics of how many people are in Uganda per race, we don't do that. Even tribes now, it's become very hard because you have people, you have Chinese. Okay.
Yeah, break down tribes for me. You know, give me, you know, explain the best you can. Like, how can, as a Black American, understand tribalism?
Okay. For every given African nation, there are other tribes. For instance, I was born in the central part of Uganda, so I would be considered Muganda. Then That's the central part, the Buganda people, where we have the Buganda kingdom. Then we have Ankole. Then we have Teso. Then you have, I mean, I could go on till the dawn of time. Within the tribes of Africa, you have north, south, east, west. So you have the central, which is Buganda, but then you have the northern people. Like, I think you've heard of what they call the Karamojong people. That's a region of people, but they are divided in different sects of people that within the Karamojong people, they are different tribes. For instance, let me put it here. I could be born in Macon, Georgia, but then there are people that live in Marietta, Georgia. Let's say that's north of Uganda. Those people are Teso people. But within the Teso culture, they are subcultures and they speak different dialects and they have what they call subcultures. Like in Uganda, we have over 100 subcultures per culture. In the central, they're divided into other little small groups that if I lived in the central part of Uganda, let's say it's Macon, and I went to visit the southern part of Uganda, let's say, which is Tifton, I'm going to find a group of people that when they speak, I won't understand. I don't understand their culture, but yet we live in one nation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's kind of like living in the United States. You got Northeastern,
right,
New York area. And then you got the South.
Yes.
And then you got the Midwest, who's totally different than the South.
Yes.
And then you have the Southwest, which is like Texas and stuff, which their culture there is totally different than us.
Yes.
And then you got the West Coast. So New Yorkers, their mentality and their thought process and how they speak and how they do things is totally different from us in the South.
Right.
Because our Southern culture, we have like a, you know, like I've spoken with people from New York and they be like, you know, don't talk to me, or, you know,
right,
why are you talking to me, or why are you staying hating me?
Yeah.
You know, but in the South, you know, saying hello to somebody was like, you know, if you don't, you walk by somebody, don't speak. That's like
rude.
Disrespectful.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's something
in the North.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. So in California, so in New York, you know, that's normal.
That's very
just
normal.
Regular.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm assuming that's how you, I'm comparing it to what you're telling.
Yeah.
Me.
Then within in New York, just break down other little areas in New York where you find different other cultures within that one area, and they all speak different dialects. You know,
right,
we don't call them languages, but we call them dialects. So if you took me out of Georgia and took me to New York, I may probably communicate with the people within, let me say, Manhattan. But then if you take me to Brooklyn, it's a whole nother group of people. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what they're talking about. And we're going to look at each other and go, okay, yeah, they're Ugandans, but I don't know exactly what they're doing. I don't understand their culture, but I respect them as fellow countrymen, that type of thing.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I think if I'm not mistaken, there are only two nations in Africa that have one group of people that speak the same languages. And I think that is Rwanda with the Hutu and the Tutsis, even if they speak one language. And I think Namibia, where there are only two groups of people. I think those are the only nations in Africa. Other than that, you go to Ghana, you go to Senegal, you go, every nation in Africa, in Africa has sub nations and another little sub culture within the big culture. You know, you go to Nigeria, you have the Igbo, you have the Fulanese, you have, they divide themselves up in little groups, and then they break it down, you know, in that region, they break it down into even smaller sects of people. So it gets a little interesting.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
that's wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I want to visit one day, and we're going to get to that shortly.
Okay.
So what is Black culture like there in Uganda? Like, you know, you live here for a while,
yeah,
so you kind of know, like, we have the Black culture when it comes to, like, music and fashion and all those things that we do within the Black community. And you know it is different here than other cultures here in the United States. Like, you know, you got the white, you know, you got Hispanic, you got and Black culture. We bring our own style to stuff here in the United States. What is that like there in Uganda? You know, the Black experience or the Black culture?
Okay.
Music or, you know, whatever it may be.
Now, with Africa, you have to know it's a melting pot for everybody. We get stuff from Europe. We get stuff from Asia. We get stuff from America. We get stuff from Russia. And we combine them and make one solid thing. When I was in Uganda, we would get music from Jamaica, for instance. Let me say Shabba Ranks was popular then, or
he was popular here.
Yeah, Buju Banton was popular then. Then you go to England at the time. God, let me see who was in England at the time. Okay, let me say who was Imani's husband at the time. I forget the guy that just died. Imani's husband. I mean, within Africa, it depends on where you go. For instance, let me put it this way. When you go to a club in Uganda, you're going to go to the club according to what you can afford. What does that mean? We build our clubs according to what you can afford, from the bottom to the middle to the top to the top. If you can afford to say, I can spend $300 tonight, you go to the top. If you say, I'm only going to spend $30, you're going to be at the bottom. Do you know what I'm saying? But then they'll play different sets of music to what moves that group of people. What am I saying? There are people in Uganda that have never left Uganda, that only live in Uganda, and they're going to adhere to only Ugandan music. You know, then you'll find a sect of them over there where we have our own African music, and that's all they're going to play. But some of that African music, they kind of interject, let me say, Jamaican reggae, or they're going to put a little Kanye twist to it. But as of late, for people like Akon, people like The Weeknd, you know, they're all Africans. Akon, The Weeknd, Nipsey Hussle, may he rest in peace. They kind of took what we have as African music and incorporated American music. Then the Europeans kind of got to that. So when you go to Africa, and this speaks everywhere, you're going to find people, musicians like Davido or Diamond Platnumz, who's from East Africa, that has a song, but Snoop Dogg is rapping in the background. Or he has a song, but Neo is in the background. Now we've incorporated that, but within our own music, with our own language, with our own beats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Omarion has a song with Diamond Platnumz called My African Woman. You know, it's incorporated with American beats, but Diamond Platnumz brings the Tanzanian music to it. Recently, he made a music with Snoop Dogg. Or, I mean, it gets very interesting. You can't say it's one particular thing. No, we take our culture music and then introduce different artists to it. Because Akon has spearheaded that. Yeah.
And that's crazy because I've never heard any of those.
Yeah.
And so are you saying like let's say the Snoop Dogg, for example. Snoop Dogg actually went out and recorded a song with this particular
Diamond
artist.
Platnumz, yes.
And they released it in Africa.
Yes.
But you never heard it here.
Exactly. Because, oh my God, God forbid Diamond Platnumz outdoes Kanye West. Like, there's a program where Akon sat down. Because, okay, when I first came to America, I lived in Maryland. I lived in Montgomery County. And, of course, one of the richest counties in America. And it was beautiful, you know. But when I went to school, I was more accepted by the white people. My fellow Black African Americans would say, oh my God, she's African. Ooh, look at that, African booty scratcher. And I would hear this all in the hallways. And then one time somebody came to me and said, well, for an African, you got very nice teeth, or you don't look African until you speak. And I mean, there were weird things that people would say. So how did you get here? Did you have to swim? Do you play with tigers in Africa? So when we first come here, we adhere within the white community. That's why most Africans, people would say, oh, Africans don't like African Americans because they only hang out with white people. It's not that. White people are more, they embrace, because I remember in my school, there was this boy named Steve. He would come and sit down for hours and say, Veronica, tell me about your country. Tell me about Uganda, the capital. I think 5 years later, his parents made a trip to Uganda, based on me. Whereas the African-American community would be like, oh my God, they come from Africa. Oh my God, we hate their accents. Look at them. Oh God, you know. So we have that. Whereas if we incorporated, we as Africans and African Americans came together as one, that music would be put on every platform. Why doesn't BET play it if Snoop is working with Diamond Platnumz? But these are played in Africa. You know, we play right. that in our clubs. We play that, you know, we embrace that. We embrace the African-American community. And Akon spearheads that to the T. He says we need to come together, you know. So very quite interesting on that part. Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because that is an interesting conversation, because we are, as Black communities, always pitted against each other.
Right.
Right. Even if it's here within the United States, Black people versus Black people. And then when you got Africans or other Black people from other countries coming here, they pit us against each other as well. Yeah. Because as an African American person, we've always been told that Africans don't like us.
Right.
You know, and that's not true. You know, we have to come together and embrace each other and understand and get to know and love each other. Because let me say this, we're always told we are not good enough, or Africans didn't like us because we were not from the motherland, or we were not from Africa. So we were looked down on as, you know, not true
black
people or true African American.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like that divide there that's been put there.
Yeah.
That's been the wish that's been driven between us and the African continent,
yes.
You know, and that's why I want to do these type of podcast episode for this season, to kind of bring together the Black community from all over the world, you know, and just tear down some of those barriers and get to know each other and understand and love each other, no matter where you're from, because we all face one thing. If you living in America, you know one thing. When you walk out your house, before you even speak or say anything, or no matter what, you are Black first.
At the end of the day, yes.
They see your skin first. They don't care where you're from. You can be from Brooklyn, New York. You can be from Louisiana. You can be from San Francisco. You can be from Miami. They don't care where you was born.
No.
All they know is one thing, you're Black.
Yes.
If your son or your daughter go out and they're hanging out, they don't care where you're from. They're going to experience the same racism in the United States as any other person, no matter what country you come
from. Yeah, I'm glad you say that, because in Maryland, I had a friend who was from Ethiopia, and we went to high school together. We went to Payne Branch High School. And he was Ethiopian, and he had this thing, well, you know, I'm light skinned, you dark, they'll see me differently. So it was, we went first time Halloween, because at the time we didn't do Halloween in my country. Even to this day, it's not very well, you know, people don't embrace it. They think it's the devil's holiday and all that good stuff. So he decided to go trick or treating in this area in PG County. In PG County, there's some racist people. So I told him, you can't go there. You cannot, because, you know, they will kill you. You see, you know, they have the flags. Oh, no, that's not going to happen to me. You Black, I'm light skinned. They're not going to kill me. They'll kill you first. So he walks and knocks on this guy's door, and he blows out his brains. I go to school the next day, and they say, hey, homeboy died. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this. Yeah, he died just like that. The guy was arrested. And of course, it's Maryland. He was a rich guy. He said, well, I feared for my life. But in actual sense, we knew not to go to certain areas in Maryland because you could see the Confederate flag at the door. You knew not to knock over there.
Right.
So you're right. When I walk out of my house or drive down the street, the police does not go, oh, by the way, she's African. No, they're going to say, oh, she's Black. We're shooting, you know, shoot and ask later. Yes. Very true.
Do they have those type of issues in Uganda?
We don't have police brutality in Uganda, but it's just human. Let me see. I'm not going to shoot you because you're Black. No. But we do have people who are just stupid, people who are just inhumane. That's worldwide. You know, that's in the white community. That's in the Black community. But we don't have, I'm going to shoot you because you're Black. No. When you tell that to people, like with George Floyd, when that happened, all my cousins that live in Uganda called me and said, we did not know that this is what goes on in America. They kill black men like that. In that, one of my cousins had a big contract here to work in the United States. She decided to move to St. Martin. She said, I'll never come to America if that's the way they kill people. I have relatives who live in Canada who say, yeah, we got offered jobs in America, but I'm a black man. I'm scared. They're going to kill me. So we don't have that in Africa, except for South Africa with apartheid, but that has gone away too. But we as black people in Africa have never experienced that, where I have to drive and be scared for my life. Now, back home, you know, you could go back and forth with a police officer. Now, are there some stupid police officers that would do some crazy stuff? Yeah. But they're not going to shoot you all because of the color of your skin. No, we don't. That's not popular in Uganda. I'm going to speak for Uganda. No, I don't know that in Uganda per se.
I'm so ecstatic that you said that, because a lot of people who are non-black people in the United States swear up and down that we as African-American is making this up or creating this in our head, or we're feeling some type of way. But for somebody who wasn't born and raised here to actually see that when they come here, you came from a country where it didn't exist.
Right.
You came here and you see it firsthand and be like, wow.
Yeah.
That's confirmation to us that we are experiencing this every day.
Yeah.
And people, they refuse to acknowledge it. And that's what
frustrates.
That's what kills us the most.
Yeah,
that's what frustrates you the most. Yes.
They
refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah. In that you see something and say, oh, let me call the police. You say, oh, no, you know what? Never mind. I'll fix it myself, because I'm scared. If I call the police, I may end up dead. If I call the police, you know, even going to the doctors now, you know, the side note, I have a friend who lives in McDonough. She's Nigerian. She's a RN. Her husband is a pharmacist. Very well-to-do people. Took her little son to the doctor, and the doctor grouped her in one setting and said, well, there's nothing wrong with him that's alarming. She said, no, I happen to be a registered nurse. I know there's something wrong. And then that's when the doctor looked at her and said, oh, I thought you were on Medicaid. She said, why? Because I'm black, I'm supposed to be on Medicaid? No, ma'am. I am, as a matter of fact, I'm a nurse practitioner. But since you say that, I'm going to make sure that, you know, your credentials are known to other people. So you best our kids. You treat our kids best on the color of our skin, not what I'm here for. Because she just ignored her and said there's nothing wrong with her little boy. But come to find out, you know, he was going to have a seizure and he ended up in emergency room in Emory. Because she just ignored him and said, well, I thought you have Medicaid. I'm not going to worry about you like that. Can you imagine?
Wow.
In America today, in 2020.
That happens all the time.
Yes.
That happens all the time.
Yeah.
They treat you because they assume you don't have the funds to pay for the care that you're going to be getting.
Yeah.
And that's sad.
Yeah. Very sad.
That's very sad. You mentioned earlier holidays. What holidays are there in Uganda? Like, do you guys celebrate a lot of the same holidays we celebrate here? I know some of the holidays we celebrate here are just in America.
Right.
Only. But what holidays that we should be, you know, aware of?
Okay. We have Christmas. We have Easter, Independence Day for every African nation. Now you have to understand, we have a lot of Muslims, you know, religion is a big thing within Uganda, I'll say for Uganda. So we have Eid Mubarak, Eid al-Fitr. Those are big holidays in my country. Christmas, Easter, you know, those are major holidays. Those are big time holidays. But we don't have Thanksgiving. We don't do the Thanksgiving thing, no. And if you see most foreigners, and you know, until I got married, I never, Thanksgiving to me was a waste of time. I'd be like, I'm not going to do that. I'll go to work. I would work every Thanksgiving day. I'll tell my boss, I'll be at work. I don't,
you know,
I'm
American and I don't really celebrate Thanksgiving like that. I mean, we get the day off, but you know, we cook the traditional Thanksgiving food, but you know, normally the day after Thanksgiving, we have to go back to work, or they give you the option to take it off. And I've worked.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I'm not
wasting my days of vacation for this. You know, it's just a shopping day for most people.
Yeah, the next
day. And it's just really, and it's technically, it's really just a U.S. holiday anyway, because no one else celebrates Thanksgiving but us.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
you know, and then every country got their own Independence Day as well. Yeah. So, you know, your Independence Day is totally different from our Independence Day. So. And that's part one of Uganda with Veronica. Come back next week going to be listening to part two. And, you know, we're going to go into detail on in Uganda and some political stuff that's going on, some history there and everything. So we look forward to hearing you guys next week, or the next episode, I say. Remember, you got the website out there, www.talkaboutwiththeryan, and I'm going to be giving more details in the future about this $100 giveaway. I'm excited to give away my money. So thank you guys for listening. Thanks for doing what you always do, showing up, showing support, and listening to talkaboutwiththeryan.com. Remember to go back, listen to some previous episodes. There's going to be some trivia questions for that. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks.